Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 through 43. There is some additional stuff at the end of the chapter, but we're going to concentrate our attention to this parable of the husbandman, the householder and the husbandman. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now the Lord's addressing Pharisees, chief priests, and elders in this parable. His disciples are nearby. They hear it as well, but he's speaking to them. They're the ones who say the answer to the question. In verse 41, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, to give us understanding in the Scripture, so we know what we're reading, what parable and how it applies at the time that Jesus said it, and then we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll help us to understand how it applies to us. We're very thankful today to be able to rely upon you, your Holy Spirit, first of all, to fill me in a way that I can do the work that's necessary beyond the ability of a man to do so, because spiritual things take place with the preaching. I pray you'll fill all of us with your Holy Spirit so we can understand what you're saying to us and how what you want us to get from this message applies to us, so that in all of it you may be honored and glorified and our lives may be changed in accordance with your will, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 21, in verses 33 to 43, you're reading about Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees, chief priests, elders, a parable about a householder that sets up this vineyard and then lets it out to husbandmen and then sends people, including finally his son, to come and receive the fruits that are his. Let's do this. Let's go through the parable to make sure that we understand what it is. In other words, parables, when they're given, are true in and of themselves. In other words, whatever you read in the parable is true about what takes place with vineyards and husbandmen. But then that truth helps you to understand a spiritual truth that may not be so easily understood without the illustration of the parable. So it helps us, first of all, to understand what the parable is even about. When you read here in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 21, that there is a householder. That householder in this parable represents God himself. He plants a vineyard. Well, we know what a vineyard is. It's a place where grapes are grown. He hedged it round about. That's to protect it from animals that would intrude, like feral hogs, and destroy the crop. He digged a wine press in it because there's an anticipation that there are going to be grapes, and those grapes will be pressed, and then what they'll enjoy are the fruit, the juice that comes from that pressing. Built a tower, let it out to husbandmen. Husbandmen are men that will tend to the vineyard. And they're not like day laborers. In this case, these husbandmen are people that are like tenants that are actually working in this vineyard to do everything that's necessary to care for the vegetation, to actually harvest the fruit, to actually take it to the wine press and so forth. And when he says here in verse 33, let it out, what that means is to lease it or grant the possession of it and the use of it, listen, for compensation. Now, who was the guy that sang the song Rooms to Let at 50 cents? Yeah. It's a lease arrangement, but there's a compensation. So in this case, the husbandmen are working in that vineyard. They get to keep some of the fruit, but the householder is entitled to his portion of fruit because that's the compensation he gets for allowing the husbandman to work in the vineyard. Notice that this vineyard is not the possession of the husbandman. It's still the possession of the householder. Notice in verse 41, when the Pharisees answer, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out, there's that arrangement, his vineyard. Whose vineyard? His vineyard. So a husbandman have to understand, I'm here to work for the benefit of some of the fruit that I can get, but this is not mine. This belongs to a householder. So likewise for us, when we start making application, we always have to remember, if we're husbandmen as well, the vineyard is not ours, it's his. All right? The husbandmen are more than laborers. In Matthew chapter 20, when he gives a parable about laborers going into the vineyard for a harvest, they're simply there to just pick as much fruit as they possibly can, right? And turn it in. These guys are husbandmen, and that word, husbandman, implies that they have a stewardship over the vineyard they're working. They have to take care of that vineyard in a way that it is always in good condition. They're stewards. Notice then in verse 41, that he'll let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him, that's to deliver these things to him, to render him the fruits in their seasons. So in this care, they're trying to get a good production for themselves, the part they get to keep, which is then likewise going to yield a good production for the householder. That's the expectation. If I have husbandmen in here as a householder, I'm going to get more fruit because they're going to take good care of it for their own benefit and the fruit that they get out of the vineyard. Do you understand that? They have a duty to conserve and protect and produce out of that vineyard for the owner and for themselves. All right, and he says the fruits, to render them the fruits in their seasons. The whole purpose of this operation is to get that fruit. And then it says in their seasons, of course, a vineyard has a season of production. It's interesting in the Bible when you read through and you look at the various kinds of crops that are produced in fields and vineyards and olive yards, there are seasons. And if you read through the Bible and you see what's taking place at a certain time of year and what kind of harvest is going on, you can see the progression basically from the spring all the way into the fall of various kinds of harvests. Barley harvest, wheat harvest, rye and flax, and then you go into the olive yards and their harvest, and come finally into the grape harvest, into the vineyard, and it has a season of fruitful production. Now, in this particular parable, Jesus Christ is describing husbandmen who get the idea after some time of labor in the harvest or in the vineyard that this vineyard is theirs. The householder is a long way off. In other words, when he sends a servant, which he did, or he sends another servant, which he did, that they don't have to render the fruit to the servant that comes. So they kill one, beat one, stone another. It may not make sense when you're reading this, but Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23 is going to hold these same Pharisees that he's teaching here responsible for the death of all of the prophets that have been sent before, that have been stoned and killed and beaten, that you read about in the Old Testament, starting with Abel. The vineyard, as it turns out, typifies Israel. And the husbandmen are there are to have been preparing all of those Israelites, all of those Jews who are living there for the coming of their Messiah. When Jesus Christ came and began to go from village to village to preach the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, there should have been many that turned to him because the field had been prepared for the arrival of the Son, who is the heir. But instead he found many places that were unbelief, and he always found opposition to the Pharisees, and eventually the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees accused him of blasphemy, turned him over to the Roman government, and Pilate ordered his execution, and he was crucified by the very men. You know what they did? They caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. The parable is to them letting them know, the Son is here, I've come for the fruit. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to keep this all for yourself. The Pharisees had them under their religious domination and did not like the fact that these men in Israel were now following the Lord Jesus Christ instead of them. They killed him, cast him out of the vineyard. That's what this parable is about. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, Jesus Christ said. Now, that's what's going on here. But do you understand, in this arrangement, the husbandmen are entitled to some of the fruit. Paul commonly uses these illustrations of farming or husbandry to describe the right of somebody in the ministry who's preaching or teaching to benefit. The Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The labor is worthy of his reward. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. It is a standard in the operation. But you just don't keep it all to yourself. Do you understand? That's what's going on in the parable. But the question is, how is this that it applies? Well, he says then in verse 43, look, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Well, the nation of Israel is the one who had the husbandman in the vineyard. And he says, I'm going to take that from you and I'm going to give that to a nation. What nation did he give that to? The United States? Russia? China? Mexico? What nation did he give that to? So I hear some mumbling. Are you saying the church? We don't replace Israel in the promises that God made. Okay, but who is now in the kingdom of God working in the vineyard? We are. And you know what the Bible says? You're a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people. That now explains, wives, why he is the way he is. Yeah, you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, listen, and holy nation. And so in this, we that are saved have become a holy nation, and this husbandry in the vineyard, which is still around, because it's representing the work in the kingdom of God, is now given to us because Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. It's been given to us. And throughout the church age, there have been seasons, right, of production, and now we are in our season. there is still fruit. As I said this in the announcements, when we were out at the parade yesterday, passing out tracts all up and down Leopard Street, as far as we could go with the tracts that we had, Milton and Lynn stayed right around the city hall, and Milton gave me the name of two people yesterday who he got to visit with at length, who trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior there yesterday. You know what that is? That's fruit. So there's still fruit to be had. You here today who have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, someone either through the preaching of the gospel in a church like this or through individual contact or your own reading of the Scripture, the Holy Spirit working with the preaching of the gospel, you came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are fruit in the vineyard. Do you see that? All right. So that's what the parable is about, and that's how it now comes to us. What's the application? What's the application? Well, these husbandmen that were working in this vineyard are entitled to a portion of the production, are they not? They're entitled to fruit, right? That's what he came for, fruit. They're entitled to fruit. And the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. You have begun already to partake of the fruit of the vineyard. You say, in what respect? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. Yes or no? And you know what the Holy Spirit brings? Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You get that the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as so many of us have experienced, when you're first saved, you're just like a child. We have right now a newborn in our service with us today, a little child. The child can only represent, right, such a little amount of all the life that is in her right now. But she'll grow. And then you'll see all the other beautiful things that are in the child as she grows, as we have seen. Correct? So, likewise, when the fruit of the Spirit is in you, the depth of that love, the depth of that joy, the depth of that peace, and all those other things is not known readily, but with time. It blossoms into abundant fruit. And many of us that have been saved for a long period of time now have in our lives much evidence of what that fruit has done in our lives. We're partaking of the fruit of the vineyard. There's also the fruit of righteousness. In the Bible, some of us, after we were saved, realized we had some bad things that were going on in our lives that were not easy to stop. And the Bible describes in Romans chapter 6 that the way you are made, you're going to be a servant of something. You're either going to serve sin and be free from righteousness, or you're going to serve righteousness and be free from sin. I know a lot of people that grow up in church, they want to get free from righteousness. They're tired of like having to do right. They want to just go out and experience what the world has to give them. So they say, oh boy, I'm free from that, thank God. And they go over here, but don't realize that over here, they're still serving sin. So when a person is over here serving sin, and they say, man, I don't want this anymore. I want Jesus Christ, and they get saved. Now righteousness is there, but over time, if you yield to the righteousness that's in you, you know what starts happening? The sin that was in your life, it goes away. And you're no longer in bondage to that used to have you in bondage. As a matter of fact, some of our lives here today have changed so drastically, you would never, if somebody said, well, I used to be this or I used to be that, people would look at you cross-eyed and say, there's no way. I can't imagine you have ever been like that. You know what happened? That fruit of righteousness has worked so much in your life that you are not what you were when you got saved. and it's evident. You're a partaker of the fruit of the kingdom of God. There's the fruit of good works. There's the fruit of the word of God. There's so much fruit in this vineyard that you get when you enter the vineyard as a husbandman. You're just eating. I mean, you know, there's hardly anything left to harvest. You're just eating so much fruit. I'm so glad. I am so glad that when I got saved and when you got saved, you became the possessor of eternal life and all of its benefits that you can enjoy on this side of glory right now. There'll be more. A home in heaven and all those wonderful things that you read about in the Bible. There's way much more. But it's sure good to have what we have right now, isn't it? So it's given to us. That's what he said. He said to them, they're going to destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. And the Lord said in verse 43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given. And he did give you. He gave you eternal life and he gave you wonderful fruit in the vineyard right now. But you know something? We are husbandmen. In other words, somebody brought the message of salvation to you in Jesus Christ. You responded by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand there are still other people yet to be saved? There's still more fruit that should be in the vineyard? In other words, I don't know if this is so or not, but have you ever heard that when the last person that's supposed to get saved gets saved, then the rapture will have come? You ever heard that? You know, I don't know if it's so like that or not. Anyway, we won't have a discussion about that right now. I can see the merits of that. Well, I don't know if it's so or not, but let me say this. If all the folks that are going to get saved were already saved by now and in the church, I believe we'd be out of here. And we're not out of here, which indicates to me there are still more people in the vineyard yet to come forth as fruit. All right? You're already partaking of the fruits of the vineyard by having eternal life right now. But you're also a husbandman, which then means that the Lord is expecting you in that vineyard as a husbandman to have a harvest. Is that right? Otherwise, you're not a husbandman. You're maybe a parasite or something. I don't know. And we have to understand the vineyard is, listen, the vineyard is not here for us. We are here for the vineyard. Otherwise, you get saved. Lord, just take you on to heaven. Why go through everything else that we have to experience here? We're not the owners. You know, the worst thing in the world for ministers is to get the idea that somehow this is my church. We've heard people, as a matter of fact, I was flying on the plane to Canada and one of the person I was with struck up a conversation and she was telling me she had gone to church on Sunday. She said, yes, I went to see Joel. You know who that is, all right? And so you see that it actually is a church with a name, but the bigger name on the billboard is the man. I'm not going to answer for that or be critical. What I'm going to say is it's not. This is not mine. This belongs to somebody else. But you'll hear people say, oh, Brother Welder's church, not mine. This is the Lord's. I just happen to be a husbandman here. And we have to always remember that. Otherwise, the motive for doing some of what we do in the ministry can be selfish. We start talking about how many people say, how many people are you running in church? Well, I'm not trying to run any of them. That's their business. I'm trying to help them, but I'm not trying to run them. You know, so people they think in terms of that associated with the people that are in the vineyard. This is not about us. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is about other people who have not yet gotten saved. So let me say this. It's very important, if this is a vineyard, for us not to trample the harvest. Corpus Christi should not be turned off to Jesus Christ because of us. You'd be careful with that. I remember one time I have a friend of mine, and all he knows how to do is pin people down and get a confession out of them and then tell you that they got saved. I mean, I've watched him work. It's not good. I mean, because eventually they're like, I'll say anything you want me to say. Just let me go. Okay? But he'll tell you that thousands get saved every year. And I'm like, no. You know, before the houses were built here, that was farming to the west of us, farming to the south of us. And these farmers planted at different times. And I can remember he was here one time. And the grain sorghum that was over there was a little plant like this. Over here, a taller plant like this. And over here, it already had a green head on it. And I walked him outside and I said, I want to tell you something. And he was a friend, so I could tell him. I said, listen, you have one implement in your tool shed as a husbandman. It's a scythe. You have no cultivating, no watering equipment, no sowing equipment. You got a scythe. I said, if you go into any one of these fields and cut something down right now and tell us you've had a harvest, you have destroyed something that wasn't ready yet. Okay. You got to go in with the attitude that in that husbandry, I've got to watch out for pests. I've got to water. I've got to fertilize. I've got to pluck up weeds. It takes a long time sometimes for the gospel being preached in someone's heart to finally come to a mature, harvestable fruit. Okay. So you got to take care of the vineyard. You're a steward. But you also have to be a good husbandman. In other words, there's an anticipation that somebody you know one day could be saved through your testimony. It's very true. You know what happens a lot of times with Christians, and I don't see it with y'all, but just in case there's the temptation, around church people pretty much behave like Christians. And that's a good thing. I appreciate the fact that when you're here, you're like, hey, Brother Welder, so nice to see you. I don't know what you say about me when you're not here. But, you know, it's comforting to know when we're here together like that. Hey, brother, how you doing? And all that. But I do know that a lot of times people act one way in church and another way out there in the vineyard. And out there, people have no idea that you're saved. You're not a good testimony. You're not a faithful witness. You're a whatever you are out there, and you're a whatever you are in here. And, you know, you don't want to be that way. You know, be out there what you are in here. I mean, and they say, well, I'd be putting on an act. Well, then get real. Let the Lord work from the inside out so that you can truly be in here what you really are and really be what you really are out there at the same time. Do you understand? Why? Because your life is an influence. In other words, when people see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and how you're changing and growing and your graciousness and your kindness and your joy in the Holy Ghost, they're like, man, I wish I had some of that. I wish there was something like that in my life. That's a testimony. And then when they actually ask that, you can say, you know, well, I can tell you what the Bible says about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you enough to die for you. And if you'll receive Him, you'll be saved and you'll have eternal life like I do. And do you know with that kind of witness, there are people that get saved? And what that is, that's a person who is now partaking of the fruits of the harvest that recognizes, I don't have to keep this all to myself. What was the problem with the Pharisees in that parable? They wanted to keep all the fruit to themselves. And when the Son came for fruit that was His, there wasn't any for Him. They killed Him, kept it all for themselves. You know what the mistake is with eternal life, with Christianity, is we get saved and then we want to keep it all to ourselves. And the Lord says, no, I gave you something that can affect another person's life and help them have what you have. Work in the vineyard. I've given it to you to work in the vineyard. I have an anticipation that there should be fruit. And that's a rightful expectation because it's His vineyard. He died for the people that are here. Oh, and you'll meet all kinds of people and you may have all kinds of concerns, but you know, you have neighbors. I love that illustration that Pastor King gave when he was here about he went to a church and the pastor was there and he was all so happy to have another man there. He said, let's go on visitation together. And Pastor King said, good, we're going to your neighborhood. He's like, what? He said, we're going to your neighborhood. And he went to the house. Remember that? He went to the house on one side of the guy and the house on the other side of the preacher. And those guys didn't even know he was a preacher. Never talked to him about the Lord. He said, you know, you want to have influence in the lives of people that live right around you. That was a good lesson. That was a good lesson. Oh, you have coworkers. You have coworkers. I was listening to a man preaching on the way over here, and he was describing when he was in Bible college about working at a Naval Air Station. And while he was there, he was so excited. It's this way with a lot of young Christians, and he was one. He was so excited about seeing saved, he was just talking Jesus all the time. He was telling those guys, man, you just need to get saved. You know, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell and all that. Just very zealous. And they just had up to here with it. So they got him, and they got with their boss, and they all drug in there, and they said, look, we're sick and tired of this guy. All he ever wants to do is come in here and talk about Jesus Christ and tell us if we don't get saved, we're going to hell and all that kind of stuff. He said, we're sick and tired of it. This is a federal place, and he has no right under federal law to be doing that. And the boss actually liked my friend. You know, he liked him, but, you know, he's like, these guys have a point. And so he turned to him and he said, you know, these guys have a point. He said, you know, we really, really need to respect that. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. Told the boss, he said, I'll tell you what. I will never mention the name of Jesus Christ again. I will never tell these guys that they're going to hell again. I will keep quiet as long as they don't say it either. They were saying Jesus Christ too, but not the same way he was. And they were saying GD too, but not the way he was. And they were saying go to hell, but not the way he was. He said, when they quit, I'll quit. And the boss looked at him and smiled and said, he's got a point. Y'all going back to work. Yeah, we don't like to ruffle feathers, some of us, and you know, well, they're not going to necessarily. How do you know they're not going to want to hear what you have to say? How do you know if they're rejecting it at first, that deep down in their heart they're not actually looking for something? Co-workers and family and friends and acquaintances, even strangers like yesterday. I didn't see one people I knew down there. Except the people we were working with. You know, you have no idea what somebody's going to do with that. But people that read those tracts, you don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing. You have no idea. I just don't want to judge for them. I don't want to make the decision for them by keeping all this to myself. I want them to see that Jesus has made a difference. I don't want to be ashamed of that. And I want to let them know they get to choose. They get to decide. The Holy Spirit gets to do the work in their lives. He gets to work with their conscience and everything else. We're messengers, but we are husbandmen in a vineyard. It was let out to us. There is an anticipation that the householder will have compensation for us being in the vineyard and partaking of the fruits. Correct? I mean, it said, and they will render him their fruits in their seasons. They'll bring forth the fruits thereof. Right? We get to do that as a church, and we get to do that as individuals. I want to ask you a question. This is very simple. Are you a partaker of the fruit in the vineyard? You know, the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy, or peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have righteousness. You have peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you see that evidence in your life? Two of you do? No. Kidding. You see that evidence in your life, don't you? I told our kids one day, I said, you were little children. Some of you weren't even born when I first got saved and started turning for the Lord. And I said, if you ever thank God for anything, thank God that you didn't know me before. I'm glad this is the dad you know, right? I mean, really glad. You are a partaker of the fruit of the vineyard. Has the Lord used you as a husbandman to bring forth fruit in the vineyard? That's the question that I have for you. Has your life, by a testimony and a faithful witness, been effectual in the life of another person that they have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through your work? And I understand it's you don't save them. This is God's work. But through your testimony and witness in the vineyard. Somebody wants to call in and give the report. Yeah. I have. I know I couldn't be there today. I just want to let you know I have. That's a compelling question. Have you allowed God, with the fruit that He has given to you, have you allowed God to use your life to be a testimony and a witness so He could bring forth fruit in His vineyard through your, or have you kept it all to yourself? These guys can, now you listen, thankfully, when Jesus comes, you're not going to kill Him. You're not as bad as these guys, but we can't take it all and keep it to ourselves if it's something that God has put in us for the benefit of somebody else who doesn't know. You say, well, you're the preacher, you go tell them. Well, long before I was a preacher, I was telling them. Amen. And the reason is you have contact with people who God can use in your life to have so much more effect than I ever would. Ever. These Pharisees said He'll miserably destroy those wicked men. Now, He's not going to come and miserably destroy us, thank God. But if His attitude about husbandmen that want to keep it all for themselves and not render fruit is this powerfully against it, my question simply is, if you haven't, would you be willing, now that you've been instructed out of the Scripture, you may not have known what you've just heard, would you be willing? Maybe you knew, but you're like, I don't know, I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, people are not as receptive to the gospel today as they used to be. I was talking to the Marquez, they were there with us yesterday and said, we noticed in our area, people were not as receptive to the tracts this time as they were before. Maybe they're not going to be as receptive. I just want to ask you, in spite of all that, if there's still fruit that should be brought forth for the householder in the vineyard, would you be willing, now that you know what you know, to be used by the Lord as a good husbandman in the vineyard? Would you be willing? If your life and testimony have been such that they're inconsistent, you're one way here, one way there, would you be willing to allow the Lord to change you from the inside out so that your testimony there and your witness there is very similar to what it is in here? Would you be willing for that? You know, this is a question you should ask because when you hear preaching unlike teaching, you're not just being informed. The Lord uses preaching to make changes in our lives, to help us, to help Him and our relationship together. There is a vineyard. It has been let out to a nation. We're part of that nation. And the householder has an expectation that there's fruit in that vineyard to be brought forth to him. And He has already allowed us as husbandmen to be partakers first of the fruit that's in that vineyard because we have eternal life and we have all that fruit that comes with it. I don't think the Lord would ask us to do this if this is not something that He could do and wants to do through us. Do you? Think of it this way when you pray today and this evening. Lord, am I going to keep this all to myself? Or am I going to allow you to use this in my life to be an influence in somebody else's life that might be brought forth as fruit in the kingdom of God for the householder? Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us today. We have been instructed out of the Scripture, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we are obedient to the things that you've shown us. Lord, I'm very, 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 very thankful that you allowed this kingdom of God to continue after the resurrection and ascension of your Son. Thank you that you've entrusted these things to us. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll help every person here to be able, as a partaker in this vineyard, to also be someone through whom you could bear fruit for yourself. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.